Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 6th, 2015, the 19th day of the session. Pending deadlines, today is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the House of Origin. So they're either out of committee today or they're gone. Monday, February the 9th, this coming Monday, will be the last day for committee of the whole in the House of Origin. If your bill's not out of the committee of the whole by Monday evening, it's gone. Tuesday will be the last day for second reading in the House of Origin, so if your bill isn't through on second reading by close of business on Tuesday, it's gone. So there is perhaps some incentive here to be somewhat economical with our time. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker,
here.
Baldwin,
here.
Barlow,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart, Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund, Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
Halverson,
Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings excused, Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Burkhart,
here.
Connolly, Eklund,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman, 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer for the day will be given by Pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church. And Pastor Fitzhugh, it's been a pleasure to have you here this week.
Good morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to have been here to serve you this past week. I have really enjoyed talking to many of you, and it's always a great pleasure to know that I'm needed. Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to say thank you for this day. But this is the day that God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for our current activities that are going on in this house. We ask that you just bless us, my Father, and allow us to do those things that brings glory and honor to your name. Allow them bills to be passed that will benefit the citizens of this community. Allow us, with God, to be successful in the things that we are doing. We know there will be failures on some, but we know that you are a God that understands all things. And we just thank you for the opportunity once again to be able to serve the people of Wyoming. And to thank you, O God, for letting us be those servants. Now bless these men and these women. Bless their homes and their surroundings. Keep us all in your keeping care. Bless this day. Let us be able to go forward in a positive manner and in a positive way. Let us all be on one accord and have the same voice and the same matters. And we just thank you for every opportunity you bless us with to be able to call on the precious name of Jesus. Now thank you, Lord, once again, for this day, in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Chairman Miller.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
You know, Mr. Speaker and members of the 63rd, it's not often we get people from the hometown up here. It's a long ways down to Cheyenne. The roads are tough. But again, we have a few people from Riverton and Central Wyoming College. We have Ron Granger, an administrator at the college, his granddaughter, Sammy, and his wife, Elisa. So please welcome them to the chamber and the People's House.
Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Representative Campbell.
Well, from some more of Fremont County, near Riverton, are some good friends of mine, my neighbors, Gary and Karen Albrandt, and they're here for the Trucking Association meeting, and along with them is Kathy Kundle from the Wyoming Trucking Association. Yay! Welcome them to the house.
Representative Northrup.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I'd like to introduce you to my superintendent from Powell, Kevin Mitchell. He's in the South Balcony. Excuse me.
Representative Cohn.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. I've got a couple great guests today. I've got a member of the Park County School District Number 6 Board, Stephanie Bell, here in the South Gallery. Please welcome her to the house. Huh? And also members of the Wyoming Connection Academy from Cody, Wyoming. They should be here in the back gallery there. So please welcome them to the house. Thank you.
Representative Reeder.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. It doesn't often happen, and matter of fact, it's never happened. But my son is here today, Clint Reeder, if you'd welcome him to the house, please.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Speaker, two privileges of the floor.
Two privileges. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Twice. Speaker, in the back here, we have a special person in my life, my wife. It's been a couple years since she's been here. Last time she was here, she was my fiance. And she has since then graduated with her bachelor's in nursing, her BSN. And if you'll remember and recall, last week I voted a conflict on a couple bills having to do with nursing. You know, we have plans in the future she's going to go on. So if you'll join me in welcoming my lovely wife, Carrie Lynn Baker. And Mr. Speaker, just briefly, in the North Galley back here, we have four of our five kids. We have one sitting up front, which I'll introduce here separately in just a moment. One of the ones in the back there is going to be the page in the afternoon. So if you guys will stand up in the North Galley. On the left, we have Jaden Adams. He was the page, if you'll recall, 2 years ago. Damon Adams came down last year and was here for House Bill 48 signing, the artificial light bill. Dominic, which is in the dress up there, he's going to be the page this afternoon. I'll tell you a little bit more about him later. And then we have the youngest one, Colton Adams, in the red there. He's having a fun morning so far. And then lastly here up front, I'll just introduce Tim. Tim was here 2 years ago. And he was the page of the day. He's in fourth grade. He goes to Westridge Elementary. It's called Quest. They have a program here for the advanced kids. And he took his test, and nationally he scored. And the way it works with Quest is to be admitted into the program, you either have to score in all three programs at a 93 level, or you have to score in one program at a 96 percentile. He scored in the 99th percentile in math last year to get into Quest program. So if you'll join me in welcoming him, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a a privilege today to have our Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis join us. And Congresswoman Lummis, would you please address the body? We would love to hear from you.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got to speak in the Senate a few minutes ago, and I found out that my old friend Earl Christensen just passed away. Now, Earl Christensen was the chairman of the Senate Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources Committee in the 60s and the 70s. Back when I came to be an intern for the Senate Ag Committee as a senior at the University of Wyoming, majoring in animal science. And it was at that time that I just fell head over heels for the Wyoming legislature, for the people who worked here, for their thoughtful, diligent work, and for this institution. And so it was not long thereafter that I ran for the Wyoming legislature. And it was there that I was a freshman with Charlie Scott, who is now 37 years in this body, the longest serving member of the Wyoming legislature. It was Earl Christensen who was the first person to call me and congratulate me when I was elected to the Wyoming House of Representatives at age 24. And it is where I met my husband, Al Wiederspahn, to whom I was married for 31 years, and who also served in this legislature with great distinction and did fine work. So the memories here will never end. They'll never fade. And they will always be cherished by me. I want you to know how much I appreciate the work you're doing, because you are carrying on that fine tradition of saving for Wyoming during the fat years so we have resources during the lean years. You all know oil, gas, and coal production, certainly coal production is down, oil and gas prices are down, and we don't know how long it's going to last. So your four-sided savings during the last 11 years are much appreciated by those of us who are citizens of this great state, so you can still manage the important functions and the people you serve. I want you to know what I'm doing about that. Yesterday I met in a one-on-one meeting with Speaker John Boehner. I presented him a memo explaining what has happened to Wyoming during the last few years. In order to pay for MAP 21, which was the highway bill a couple years ago, Wyoming's abandoned mine lands monies were taken from us to the tune of $700 million over 10 years. So they could spend on other priorities, because Washington has proven itself so effective at allocating money. Then, in the Ryan Murray budget, they made permanent the taking of another 2% of our federal mineral royalties, taking them from 50% to 48%, taking another $200 million over the next 10 years from Wyoming. With regard to the AML funds, they took it from Wyoming alone. Other states that receive abandoned mine lands monies lost nothing. In fact, when I pointed out to members from the delegations of Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, that they too lost money, these Republican legislators corrected it for themselves and left Wyoming hanging out to dry. And that's because Wyoming contributes more monies to the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund than all the other states combined. And what they did was wrong. So I impressed upon the Speaker the error of their ways and told him
that during my next 2 years in the House of Representatives, this will be my highest priority, to right the wrongs that were done to Wyoming and to restore what is rightfully Wyoming's money. I met with Dan Ash this week, the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We talked about wolves. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, scientifically valid delisting of wolves, was overturned by a court in D.C. The same thing happened to the Western Great Lakes states. So the Western Great Lakes states and Wyoming have banded together to seek a congressional solution, reinstating the rule that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service passed to delist wolves. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will provide technical scientific advice to people who inquire about the legislation. Legislation is certainly not their preferred path. They hate to see a species-by-species congressional action. But in this case, I don't think they're going to oppose it. So that effort will continue. With regard to sage-grouse, I also met with Sally Jewell this week. And we talked about sage-grouse and the position we're in. We only gained 2 weeks in the last budget in terms of postponing a listing decision. But we are hopeful that Wyoming's good progress and fine work becomes the template for other states to pursue habitat conservation plans as well as things like the Lander RMP, which is the only one that's been approved. The resource management plan for the Lander District should become an example of how to recover sage-grouse and sustain their populations in a way that can be useful to other states as well. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about what we need to do to prepare for the possibility that the King lawsuit regarding the Obamacare federal exchanges will cause federal exchanges under Obamacare to no longer have the subsidy that state exchanges do. For states like Wyoming that does not have its own state exchange, that would be a loss of about $5,000 per participant in Obamacare, just like that. And as you all know, that's a fatal flaw. It's unsustainable if the clear language of Obamacare is found to be the law of the land, which would mean the lawsuit would find that the federal government cannot provide subsidies to participants in Obamacare federal programs, but only state programs. That would be so consequential to Obamacare that I believe both the President and the Republican Congress are preparing for that eventuality. Now, I don't know what that legislation will look like, but it is significant, and I believe has a bearing on some of the decisions that you all are considering in your deliberations here. We will work as a delegation as hard as we can with you to sustain this state's ability to educate its children, to keep its highways in repair, and to perform the functions that make Wyoming the last best place. And you're the last line of defense between being something like the federal government, which is careening towards a European-style social democracy, over $18 trillion in debt, and the finest example of a state that can be found in this nation. I mean, that's how consequential and significant are the differences between the way the state of Wyoming is governed thoughtfully on a bipartisan basis by people of goodwill, which you certainly are, and I salute you for it. Thank you kindly. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members, you have a new goldenrod in your box today. It's dated 2-6-2-15. We haven't had one, I think, since 2-3, and I just wanted to point out the changes and how it moves, Mr. Speaker, rather quickly. So if you look at the JAC Rex, the second column on the front page, page 1, and the if you have the one from 2 days ago, you can see, of course, the funds available. The first group of numbers has not changed. That's $3.656 billion. But then if you go down to the total traditional funds available for appropriation, that is now $4.483 million. And so that's dropped from 2 days ago, $5.054 million. And so funds available has dropped because we've added a couple new bills. And so if you'd flip to page 2, which is the back of that page, and if you look at appropriations on the general fund, appropriations, and if you look at all those House bills, and you might recall that 2 days ago the last bill that had passed Committee of the Whole that we had on the goldenrod was Next Generation 911 Task Force. Well, since then, we added House Bill 105 for $56,000. We added House Bill 152 for $40,000. And House Bill 209 for $25,000. And then if you follow down the bottom of that list of Senate files, the Senate has added two Senate files. Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, $100,000. And Senate File 122, Vision 2020 for $350,000. So thus, we've dropped a little over a half a million in those 2 days from bill appropriations. So that's how the thing moves a little bit, and wanted to give you that update. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 5, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 194. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 67, Waiver Stabilization Trust Account. Ayes 13, noes 14, 3 excused. This bill has been indefinitely postponed. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 195, Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 104, Campaign Reports-Unopposed Candidates, Ayes 8, Noes 19, 3 excused, and this bill has indefinitely postponed. Signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day is Larry Kervin from Buffalo. Please welcome him to the House. We're now on the business of Senate files on first reading. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 12 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 13 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16 from Judiciary, an act relating to Wyoming Controlled Substances Act.
Senate File 16 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses and consumer protection.
Senate File 36 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58 from Appropriations, an act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System.
Senate File 58 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59 from Appropriations, an act relating to Wyoming Public Television.
Senate File 59 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 60.
Senate File 60 from Appropriations, an act relating to the Deferred Compensation Plan.
Senate File 60 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 141.
Senate File 141 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the Administration of Government.
Senate File 141 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 146.
Senate File 146 from Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the Administration of Government.
Senate File 146 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next file for our consideration is Senate File, Senate Joint Resolution 2.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 from Appropriations, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to authorize investment of state funds not designated as permanent funds.
Senate Joint Resolution 2 is assigned to Appropriations Committee Number 2. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42 from the Revenue Department, an act relating to the Administration of Government.
Senate File 42 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82 from Senator Scott, an act relating to the Funeral Service Practitioners Act.
Senate File 82 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8 from the Education Accountability Committee, an act relating to education accountability.
Senate File 8 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 from the Education Committee, an act relating to government administration.
Senate File 10 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance.
Senate File 20 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57 from Appropriations, an act relating to school facilities projects.
Senate File 57 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture.
Senate File 4 is assigned to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development.
Senate File 51 is assigned to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to state historical sites.
Senate File 5 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35 from Corporations, an act relating to consumer protection.
Senate File 35 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37 from Corporations, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 37 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, Corporations, an Act Relating to the Administration of Government and Privacy.
Senate File 45 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, Corporations, an Act Relating to Initiatives and Referendums.
Senate File 49 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, Corporations, an Act Relating to Elections.
Senate File 52 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, Corporations, an Act Relating to Elections.
Senate File 53 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, Corporations, an Act Relating to Elections.
Senate File 54 is assigned to Corporations Committee Number 7. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 27.
File 27 from Senator Anderson, an Act Relating to Highways.
Senate File 27 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29 from Transportation, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicles.
Senate File 29 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30 from Transportation, an Act Relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 30 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 22.
Senate File 22 from Minerals, an Act Relating to Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facilities.
Senate File 22 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23 from Minerals, an Act Relating to Enhanced Oil and Gas Recovery.
Senate File 23 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24 from Minerals, an Act Relating to Public Utilities.
Senate File 24 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25 from the Minerals Department, an Act Relating to Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facilities.
Senate File 25 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26 for Minerals, an Act Relating to Economic Development.
Senate File 26 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34 for Minerals, an Act Relating to Mines and Mining.
Senate File 34 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56 from the Natural Resource Management, an Act Relating to Public Lands.
Senate File 56 is assigned to Minerals, Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 from Labor, an Act Relating to the Administration of Government.
Senate File 31 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32 from Labor, an Act Relating to Small Employer Health Insurance Availability.
Senate File 32 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate File 64 from Labor, an Act Relating to Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act.
Senate File 64 is assigned to Labor Committee Number 10. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 102.
Senate File 102 from Representative Landon, an Act Relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 102 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. Ladies and gentlemen, just an announcement about the microphone situation. I've not been satisfied with the microphone over in that corner. They've worked on it. They've determined they need to do some more work. We're going to put the temporary battery-powered microphone that's used by the reader over there, but it is, you have to be careful about turning it on and off, and it's difficult to use, and you may want to just consider not using that podium, using this one instead or one of the other two. And we're going to get it fixed as quickly as we can, but we just are not hearing some people at all. With that microphone, we will hear you. When you activate that microphone, you get a red light around the base of the microphone tip up there, and so you want to be sure that's on before you start if you feel the need to use that. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 216, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Stebson. One no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom referred House Bill 205, Revisers Bill, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Hunt, Larson, Moniz, Northrup, Patton, Petroff, Stubson, and Throne, one excuse, Representative Madden, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 11.
House Bill 11 from the Education Committee, an act relating to the study of distant education for informing recalibration of the Education Resource Block grant model.
Are there any amendments? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Majority Floor Leader. I move the adoption of the amendment that you'll find in your box in the pink sheet on page 1, lines 11 through 16 in the first standing committee amendment. To those lines, add 12, delete, excuse me, the number 12, and insert to the number 14. As the bill was discussed yesterday, we thought that we could do this as a technical amendment, but find that the technical amendment is insufficient, and thus the number of people involved in the creating of the committee ends up being a total of 14, and so just making the numbers match the bill. So with that, if I stand for any questions or call for the question.
The question being called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion on the bill? Okay, hearing none, the question, House Bill 11 having been read for the second time, the question being called, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. Pardon me, have we moved House Bill 28 off second reading? We're correcting the second reading. Apologies. Okay, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 158.
House Bill 158 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to child custody and visitation.
Okay. House Bill 158 having been read for the second time, the question is being called. Hearing no further discussion, the bill is read for the third time. Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill 197 from Representative Edmonds, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 197, having been read two separate times, the question shall be, the bill be read a third time. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 201.
House Bill 201 from Representative Larson, an act relating to public funds.
There is an amendment, Chairman Larson, Vice Chairman Larson. Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 201, and with the permission of the Chair, we'll explain the amendment.
Proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, we passed this bill yesterday on first reading. We're now on second reading. It's 201. It's about deposits of funds by political subdivisions. And it attempts to track the constitutional language and the part that I have under consideration here is lines 9 through 12 on page 2. And in that, it says, after some precatory language, it says, with respect to the deposit of funds of political subdivisions, bank means any of the institutions listed in 94817A. 94817A basically says state banks, national banks, savings and loan associations, and federal associations. And so this would enlarge that and say that bank, under that statute, also includes credit unions, when practicable. And the part that bothers me is that word practicable. I think it's capable of several different interpretations and capable of some manipulation, and I don't like that word. So my amendment says at page 2, line 12, that after the word practicable, we say, or when not available within a 10-mile radius of the principal place of business of the political subdivision, an institution approved by the Board of Deposits. So the end result of that is it will be deposited in a bank unless there's not a bank within a 10-mile radius of the principal place of business of that political entity. If there's not a bank within 10-mile radius of its place of business, then with the approval of the Board of Deposits, the funds can be deposited in a credit union. And I think that accomplishes everything that the sponsor of the bill intended to do and protects us from some wild interpretations that might come from different interpretations of the word practicable. So I would urge your aye vote and stand for any questions, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I also agree with the amendment and stand in support of it. The attempt by the Larson amendment was to do what the Speaker has done with his amendment, so I would just encourage your support.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I like what the Speaker's done, but I might suggest, have the body consider this, we'll look at it, let's just get rid of the term practicable and just get to this point where they're 10 miles within the boundaries of the municipality or the political subdivision. My thought is, will we insert the or? Now we still got that interpretation. So this is get rid of practical and just say 10 miles. So just for thought, I'd be in favor of this amendment for now, but give everybody a heads up, maybe a third reading amendment.
Any further discussion? Further discussion. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes. Hearing no further discussion, House Bill 210 shall be read a third time. It is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 233. Oh, the Majority Floor Leader may need new glasses. Sorry about that. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 210.
House Bill 210 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the Office of the State Public Defender.
House Bill 210, having been read two separate times, the question shall The bill be read a third time, hearing no objection.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Burkhart.
There is an amendment on that bill.
I am not notified of an amendment, Representative Burkhart.
For you, not yet. She's on 210.
Oh, I apologize. My confusion.
You are forgiven, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
We shall continue with House Bill 210, having been read two separate times. The question, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 212.
House Bill 212 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 212, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. The next bill for...
Madam...
All right. Now, excuse me, Representative Burkhart, I did not have notification that there was an amendment. So please go ahead, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It is Friday. It's been a long week for all of us.
Thank goodness.
Madam Chairman,
proceed.
I move second reading amendment 1 to House Bill 212 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment clarifies some of the problems and cures some of the problems I had with this bill. And this comes after discussion with the department. And so what it does is it asks the department to develop rules and regulations for how they will do this chargeability process so that everyone is working on from the same rules, and that's pretty much the amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I appreciate this amendment, too, and find it and would encourage you to support it. This was a discussion that my fellow representative in Minerals Committee brought up during the discussion, and I thought that I had found the language in existing statute, but we're much more comfortable with adding it to this with this amendment and would encourage your support.
Is question being called on the amendment? All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Any further discussion on the bill? Having been read to House Bill 212, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 233.
House Bill 233 from Representative Summers, an act relating to banks and banking.
Okay. House Bill 233, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 237.
House Bill 237 from Representative Muniz, an act relating to water and sewer districts.
House Bill 237, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243.
House Bill 243 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
And I believe there is an amendment.
Yes, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Representative Winters.
Thank you. I'm just bringing back for your consideration would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 243. And this is the exact same amendment that came from the House Standing Committee yesterday that was briefly and not very thoroughly debated. And I felt that we should bring that back for consideration. All it simply does is on page number 2 and on page number 3, a couple places, but let me show you on page number 2, line number 13 and 14. It strikes the word or on 13 and punishment on 14. It does the same thing on line number 8 on page number 3, and then on the bottom of page 3, line number 17, it inserts the word or on after the word torture, and then puts a period after the word confinement and strikes or punishment of the victim. And the reason for that, and the only reason I'm bringing this back, I do not like the idea of crossing swords with a man as intelligent and esteemed as the bringer of the bill. But I would say that the work of the Standing Committee, as we debated this very thoroughly, we came to the conclusion that the word punishment there, especially with the word cruel as a modifier, is something that is not defined in law and actually could provide an open place for us that could be dangerous. And so as we struck those words, the reason for that cruel, by the way, the only time we could really find that, and we try to do a search on that, cruelty, you can find that defined as far as cruelty to animals, but you can't find that as cruel punishment. And so we're just trying to make sure that we have a clean bill. And with that, Madam Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Any further discussion on the motion, the amendment? Seeing no further discussion, calling for the question, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion carries. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 243, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Ladies and gentlemen, the next order of business is the bills on third reading. And I believe what we have up is a consent list. Oh, excuse me. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Pursuant to House Rule 7-3, I would request that Senate File 14 in third reading be laid back one day, as a third reading amendment is still in the works. So I would request that that be laid back for one day. Thank you.
Okay. Here you are.
I forgot I sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're under Rule 7-3, laying back a bill. It says, absent objection sustained by a majority of those present, a bill scheduled for second or third reading may be laid back for an additional day. If there's an objection, the chair will hear it, along with an explanation of the objection, after which we will vote. There's no debate on it. We will then vote, and it will be a voice vote, unless somebody cares to call for the ayes and nays. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would object to the motion. And my reason is this is a committee bill. It was thoroughly vetted during the interim. It was thoroughly vetted by the other body. It's now to us. We had the entire interim to make changes. The bringer of the motion sits on the committee that met over the interim, so we had the entire interim to work on amendments and make changes, and I don't think it's appropriate to have to come up with an amendment that's so thorough that it's going to completely change the purpose of the bill at the last minute, so I would object to moving it back.
Pursuant to Rule 7-3, there's been an objection to laying Senate File 14 back for a day. All in favor of the objection, which would be to object and not allow the bill to be laid back for one day, all who are in favor of that objection signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The objection is not sustained by the body, and we will proceed on Senate File 14. Representative Crone.
Mr. Speaker, I think because the objection wasn't sustained, the Senate file would be laid back a day. Is that a point of order? Point of order.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think, yeah. Yeah. Division having been called. Yeah. Yep. Yep. All those in favor of sustaining the... Well, Representative Byrd, I'll hear it if you can get to a podium.
Mr. Speaker, you ruled on that vote already. I believe that we're past that.
Well, Representative Byrd, I ruled backwards on the motion, and so I guess I haven't taken an action that's sustainable yet. and division was called, and the chair is going to rule that we can have division. So now, here we go. All those in favor of the objection to laying Senate File 14 back for a day, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. This would be everyone in favor of laying it back for a day. The objection fails, therefore, pursuant to the motion that was made, Senate File 14 will be laid back for one day. Okay. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 47 from Representative Hunt, an act.
Point of order.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, you want to make a motion for the consent list, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'm standing up and I'm ready to be Majority Floor Leader again.
Please excuse me, I was looking over the top of you.
I know, and I'm even wearing red. I think it must be Friday, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 163, 174. Oh, pardon me. Oop. Whew. Whoa. Here we go. Consent list. House Bill 47, 107, 138, 143, 149, 152, 183, 186, 193, 211, 214, 225, 228, House Joint Resolution 10.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that House Bill 143 be removed from the consent list.
House Bill 143 is removed from the consent list and will be considered on regular third reading. Are there any other requests for removal from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills. Oh, Representative Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker, I would request that House Bill 214 be removed from the consent list.
House Bill 214 has been removed from the consent list and will be considered on regular reading. Are there any more requests for removal of bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills. The survivors.
You're sure? I can go ahead. Thank you very much. House Bill 47 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 107 from Representative Wilson, an act relating to professions and occupations, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 138 from Representative Northrop, an act relating to workers' compensation, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 149 from Representative Crone, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 152 from Representative Madden, an act relating to impact assistance payments, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 183 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to insurance, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 186 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to human trafficking, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 193 from Representative Nicholas, an act relating to veterans, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 211 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to criminal procedure. House Bill 225 from Representative Berger, an act relating to law enforcement, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 228 from Representative Greer, an act relating to real property, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution 10 from Representative Halverson, a joint resolution to memorialize the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings excused, Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 47, are there any changes? Winters, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Pieperinen? Okay. Are there any other changes? Edwards, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 107, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 138, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 149, are there any changes? Pieperinen, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Are there any other, Pelkey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 152, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 183, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 186, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 193, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 211, are there any changes? Walters? Aye to no. Madden? Aye to no. Greer? Aye to no. Burkhart? Aye to no. Edmonds? Aye to no. Nicholas? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 225, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 228, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 10, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Schwartz, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Patton, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Pennell, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 47, 107, 138, 149, 152, 183, 186, 193, 211, 225, 228, and House Joint Resolution 10 have passed the House. Representative Pelkey.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please proceed.
I have the privilege of representing a district over the hill in a fine city that plays host to many of your favorite sports teams. But I was preceded in that a few representatives ago by one Seth Carson, who's in the gallery today. I just want folks to say howdy.
Welcome to the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading regular on passage of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 118. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 118 from Representative Berger, an act relating to the Wyoming Community College Commission, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You should have a corrected copy, and I will move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 118. Ladies and gentlemen, we had quite a bit of discussion this week on community colleges and working on a model for funding community colleges in the future, and the discussion about having the Joint Appropriations Committee develop a plan during the interim. And really all this does is tighten up the amendment that was put on the Committee of the Whole, just to solidify that we will have the cooperation of the Community College Commission and interested parties work with that funding model. They've done quite a bit of work on it, but I thought that during the discussion on the floor and while we were in the Appropriations Committee that it was important that we put that language in the bill. So that's what the amendment is, and I would call for the question if there is no more debate. Thank
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker.
For my first time, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I may there may be a corrected amendment that I don't have, and if there is, could the bringer perhaps explain to me exactly what we're doing here? And that'll have to be after everyone else has spoken for their first time.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. My question on this is, if we have this particular committee looking at establishing a long-term funding model for sustainability revenue source, and in our rules, anything that's a tax has to go through starting house revenue, starting committee number three in the House. How is this going to work for that committee sponsoring legislation if it's another committee that has to sponsor the tax? So obviously, it's going to be a tax if you're looking for a sustainable revenue source. So, but I don't know if you want to include committee number three in this discussion or not, but it has to be, I think.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, the consideration, however, is on line 5 of the proposed amendment and going down to line 8, where I hope that interested parties formally includes the Education Committee, as this is a significant role in the continuation of education from K through post-secondary education and on. So all in for the amendment, but with that consideration of interpretation.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. Just for clarification, it might be easiest if you go once again to the corrected copy where we superimpose the amendments on first reading on and then go to those readings to see what we do. It's really a minor change, just correcting and making, and the purpose of it is to once again give a little bit more to do exactly what the previous speaker just said, is to say you betcha, we're going to take full consideration of both community colleges' input and the Department of Education's input, so on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm for the amendment. We've been kind of kicking the college can down the road for quite a while now, and this is an opportunity to really take a good look at it and get it right. And I don't think that pushing it down more years is going to help. I would like to see a solution in the next session. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also support the amendment to get the community colleges and other interested parties is very important. This is a very complicated issue, and the more people involved, the better it will be. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Speaker Pro Tem. I also applaud the efforts of the Appropriations Committee and the bringer of this amendment. This is a great deal for community colleges. We need to be able to get this put together and get a significant funding stream, or maybe not monetarily, but just get a solid funding stream so they can make plans, they can look in the future, and that these community colleges can start planning. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I just want to lay a word of caution out there because I hear what's being said, and I just want to lay a word of caution out here. This amendment amends the previous amendment, and it talks about a funding model based on sustainable revenue. for state funding of community colleges, and it talks about a standard budget. That's the same thing we hear from every constituent organization that we hear. And I've been a champion for that sometimes, but cities and towns want sustainable revenue. Counties want sustainable revenue. They all want to be able to plan. The highway department wants sustainable revenue. Everybody wants a solid number. We used to have something in here called earmarking. And in the late 90s, they went through a de-earmarking exercise that was brutal, absolutely brutal. And they took all the earmarking off because all our revenue was tied up so tightly the legislature didn't have any control of it anymore. It was all, it went to this, it siphoned off here to this agency, and the other agency. I detect a movement here to start back toward earmarking, and I won't be here, and you all can, I'll trust your good judgment, but I feel a move here to go back to earmarking, and it is a terrible mistake, because when you start earmarking all these funds, you lose control of your budget, and then you will hear demands. If you try to adjust that, you will hear adamant demands from everybody. That is our money, and we're entitled to it. We plan for it, and it's the way it's going to be. And so I say they get a sustainable flow of revenue the day that we get a sustainable flow of revenue. And until we have one, they're going to have to come back in every time, every agency. I know they do a lot of different things, but they're going to have to come back in here and compete for the money. And when you start earmarking money, then they don't have to compete anymore. They just say it's a property right. You owe it to us. So as I say, I won't be here, and I'll trust you all to manage it carefully. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, we hear you loud and clear.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess just in my 9 years here, I really haven't seen where you're instructing one committee to go to interim to come up with another committee's interim bill or discuss another interim committee topic that probably should be in revenue. So that's just my objection to it.
Representative Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Well, we're nothing but creative. I think it's important that, you know, we keep moving forward with this, and I don't want to call it earmarking, but I want to call it sustainable funding. You know, our community colleges are reaching over 20,000 people throughout our state every year. And as I've talked with those folks over the hill that have the university, they tell me how important the graduates, the students from our community colleges are in sustaining their programs, in maintaining their growth, and in providing diversity and opportunity for their programs to be successful. So if we are creating success at the community college level, which will create success at the university level, how can that not create success for Wyoming?
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you for the good warning. And I have been here long enough to know that it is important to have this study, to have this discussion with all of the stakeholders that we have discussed today, to work on this in the interim so that when we prepare a 2017-18 budget, we actually know what that matrix is and that we're basing it on actual enrollment of our community colleges. And I have discovered over this last week of having the discussions in the various committees and with members that there is a lot of confusion on how we appropriate, how we treat our community colleges. And I think that this is really, through the interim, is going to be a great process of educating and informing our legislative members, our communities, about the importance of community colleges. And I hope by September 1st, we will have a terrific model in place that is sustainable, and we will be proud of it. Thank you. I ask for a favorable eye on the amendment.
Senate File 118, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll. Whoa! Whoa! We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 118. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 118 has passed. Now, Senate File 118 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer. Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings excused. Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 118 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 143 from Representative Madden. An act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Since this has been coming to our attention, I've been hearing from county treasurers that this doesn't make sense to them. Fees are actually going up, and we just like a little more explanation. And I've talked to the bringer of the bill, and we'd like a little more explanation as to how, when they run sample calculations on trailers and motorhomes, fees are actually going up and not down. So if I could have some further discussion on this, my treasurers would appreciate it. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I got to tell you that I have not been privileged to receive these missives from whoever they are, and I, you know, it's hard to respond to it. You know, if you get, I imagine everybody's thrown away the handout. I did not see this amendment; it wasn't on my desk, so I'm kind of winging it here. But I think what the bringer of the amendment said, that it's going to cause fees to go up. Now, I do know you have the bill in front of you, and I therefore know that you've got the fiscal note ahead of you. And it seems like maybe this same group in an earlier session was complaining about a bill similar to this because it brought down the price of registration fees too much, and the counties would go broke. Now we're saying that they go up, but of course you can see the fiscal note says they go down. I explained to you in the first committee of the whole that the reason that they appear to go down is because they took no consideration of the elasticity of generating more registered motor homes particularly. Now, there is absolutely no possibility that a motor home would be higher priced under this bill's provisions than under what exists now. I don't know what to say. I mean, somebody writes an email to somebody and says, "Oh, it's this way," and I feel like I'm in a working in a vacuum, and I probably sound that way too. But I think definitely it does not cause in any case that I can imagine. The only way I can imagine it is if you had a very, very low priced travel trailer that's very, you know, is older than 6 years, and it is very, very heavy. So I don't know how you can come up with, you know, usually there's the more pounds, the more dollars it costs. And I guess that's, you know, show me the numbers and that'd be one thing. But if they can, these people that are sending these missives out can come here during the first presentation in the Senate. If this bill passes, I'd certainly like to be there to hear their story. Thank you. I urge you to reject this amendment and to vote for the bill so we can at least get it to the next stage in the process. Thank you.
Chairman Torrance, Sir Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My first, so I can have a second.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I rise on in support of the amendment and against the bill. I did look at the fiscal note. It'll reduce revenues eventually to the counties that struggle, not particularly my county, but some counties that struggle finding road maintenance, finding other things. So I don't know what all, of course, I don't know where all this money goes. Maybe it doesn't go to counties. Maybe it goes to schools. But even if it goes to schools, we need more money in our schools. So I don't know if this is the best way to do this. There was an argument raised when this bill was brought up that people are fleeing to Montana to buy because of the registration fee. They flee because of the sales tax issue.
Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and in support of the bill, I got the same messages from our own county treasurer, and it doesn't stand up to muster. In fact, and I'm looking at the handout that was given, I attached it to my bill. You take a $210,000 motor home, and it's 31,000 pounds dry weight. Currently, the fee for the nth number of year, okay, so this is in years 1 through 4, this amends it to $480, which currently it's a different scale there. Year number one, it's $3,780, but after the fourth year, we have the same amount. So the nth number of year, let's take year number 12, that same person is going to be paying $945, whereas this amendment to $336, which is a lot better on the consumer end. Now, the concern that I was approached with this morning is someone who might live in a trailer house that's their permanent residence. This bill does not affect them. In fact, the bill specifically says, if I can find it here, on page number 2, starting verse line number 1, for non-commercial motorhomes and house trailers which are used solely for recreational travel residences. So this isn't going to affect your normal, regular person who lives in a trailer house in your hometown. It simply will not do that. This affects those who have travel, recreational residences. You have to think. Now, the argument was made that it would reduce income for the counties. And our fiscal note says that, but I argue that over time this would not reduce the amount to counties. In fact, it might actually generate more revenue. Because what we have right now is a huge marginal cost for those who go and buy these motorhomes and these travel trailers. That marginal cost in the form of registration is very, very high right now. And it yields a lower marginal benefit to the state. Now, if we get this thing where it's more economically efficient, I guess we could say, then what will happen is the marginal cost will balance with the marginal benefit, and you will actually yield more income to your state coffers or your county coffers. So that's my argument. Now, their fiscal note doesn't reflect that, but this is simple economics. And this is a platform for a party that, hey, when we reduce taxes, a lot of times we generate more income. And that's exactly what this bill proposes to do. So you can be a hero. You can go back to your hometown and your constituents are going to love you because you reduce some of their taxes. And at the same time, I purport to you that this will probably actually generate more income over time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Baker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I sense the body wants to move on, but I just have one point to make here. I have a couple of individuals that have spoken to me that say that there's a propensity for individuals to just keep around an older version of a motorhome and license that and register that, and then when they buy something new, they just don't license it. They take their old plate off of their old vehicle and put it on their new one. So I think it would just benefit us to just move forward with this bill because we want people to be able to just afford to register it and not want to skirt the system that's in place. Against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill. We're losing registrations to other states, particularly the one north of us. I sat through this presentation from the good professor, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. It made sense then. It makes sense now. Eventually, the curve will swing around. We will register more of these expensive motorhomes. So, against the amendment, for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I did see a copy of the email that the fine representative is referring to, and I just wanted to clarify something. They were saying that possibly it's unconstitutional. And I'd like to remind you, this part of the bill addresses the county portion of the registration fees, and if you go back into 3118401, it talks about registration fees in general, and all other registration fees are based on weight. So this, in a lot of respects, is just making everything uniform. And the other thing, just remind everybody of the testimony that we heard that these neighboring states, if you own this motorhome, this $210,000 motorhome, and you're setting up in the corner of the state, you have three options. One is a $500 option, one's a $400 option, and then you have our option in this state, which is like $4,000 and some. What are you going to do? I would strongly suggest to you that a lot of these folks are going to come back, register their motorhomes in this state. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw the amendment at this time.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 143 has been withdrawn. House Bill 143, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Present.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
nope.
Greer,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings excused, Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden, McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Summers?
No.
Steinmetz?
No.
Stubson?
Aye.
Throne?
Aye.
Walters?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Winters?
No.
Swanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 19 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 143, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 143 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 192 from Representative Freeman, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 192 and ask for your favorable consideration. And of course, on and in favor of the amendment and against the bill. Maybe it was two years before I came down here, the Hathaway was initially adopted, and I've been surprised. Every single year, I think, that I've been down here, there has been an effort to broaden the eligibility, to lower the requirements, to do something to impact those who are can avail themselves of the Hathaway scholarship and use it for their college education. And this bill in front of you, as I've kind of looked at it, thought about it over the last few days, heard from people back home, I realize it is sort of just an extension of those efforts. And so to me, when looking at this bill, the question really comes down to the issue of is the Hathaway about excellence or is it about entitlement? Because what this bill does is it really does significantly change the landscape for kids who are looking ahead, and I think it has some serious negative impacts on the incentives that are incorporated in the Hathaway. And why they say that is, you know, what does this bill do? It takes a kid that may have gone to 1 year of college, may have taken two semesters of fairly lightweight courses, and it puts them on the exact same basis as a kid that has worked for 4 years, has gone through all the rigor of the Hathaway curriculum, has come out with good grades, with good ACT, has done everything we've told them they need to do, and it puts both those kids on an equal footing. I just don't think that's right. And I don't think that's right because it messes up the incentives, but also because you have to look at the context in which the bill is offered. And you remember, I think it was either last year or the year before, we did increase the awards to the Hathaway by 5%, I think. But we are still under significant criticism and pressure because the Hathaway now pays for essentially 70% of what the Hathaway paid for when we initiated it several years ago. And so in that context, when the kids that we are awarding to are able to pay for less and less, we want to incorporate more and more kids. We do that, and we heard this in Committee of the Whole, we do that when there's really no good understanding of what impact on the fund and on the amount of awards this bill will have. There's no data whatsoever that tells us how much more will be paid out of the fund, how many more kids will be eligible under this bill. And so I just simply think it's irresponsible to make that move and that instead we should be focusing on really meeting the needs of those that we already made the promise to, making sure that we are able to fulfill on that promise and that commitment already made, which is if you do what we've told you to do through high school, we're going to give you the award that we promised you, and we're going to do as much as we can to ensure that it pays for as much of college as we possibly can. The bill, I think, really takes a continuing step of giving less and less to more and more. And I would just urge you to approach that with real caution, and let's draw the line here. Let's go ahead and vote this bill down. Let's continue to keep our eye on the ball, which is those kids that have gone through all the rigor that we've told them to, that have gotten the grades that we've told them to. They can get the awards that we've promised them, and it's a good system, and we should stick with it. So I'd ask for you to please hear no vote on the bill.
Discussed on the amendment, Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I first saw this bill, my first reaction was no, because every year we tinker with the Hathaway. Then I look at it and I think, well, this is a good idea. It rewards kids for getting to college and doing well. Then I start thinking about, well, wait a second. What's the purpose of the Hathaway? To get kids to prepare in high school, to show their aptitude, and to move on and have the advantages to attend school here in Wyoming. So I guess you'd say, well, Mike, are you troubled with indecision? And I'd have to say, well, probably. But no, I've made a decision. I'm in favor of this amendment and against this bill. And the simple fact is, I think the deciding point for me was that to earn your level of the Hathaway, we do take a standardized test, the ACT, which is recognized around the United States. And then it also has a component of your grades, which shows your dedication to your studies in high school. And the fact of the matter is, whether we want to admit it or not, certain courses of study in college have more of a grade inflator associated with them than others. And you can direct what courses you want to take to move your GPA. Some schools, and because this is applied to the university and our community colleges, in some schools you may get a little higher GPA than in other schools. And I just don't think it's objective. I appreciate the sponsor of the bill just trying to help out more of our kids, but I just don't think this is a path that I want to support or go down. And I'd encourage you to defeat this bill when it comes up for a final vote.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was trying to skate on this bill, I'll be very honest. But I went to appropriations today, and there was a country lawyer with a cheap haircut that says, I want to... didn't pick on me because I wasn't thorough. And his comment, if he would have said that, and he didn't, would have been right. If you look on, I've given you two handouts. One of them has 191 or 192 on the top, and then the other one was prepared by the Wyoming Department of Education. I think I can say that. And I'm going to give you some information that I think that you should be interested in. The first part is it talks about the four different levels of Hathaway. It shows the ACT score that you have to have, the high school GPA that you have to have, the award that you will be presented, and it tells you the high school classes that you have to take. I will be honest, I kind of got tired of typing and I tried to keep it to one thing. The honors and the performance have several other classes to take, but I want you to see that essentially, if you're going to get the Hathaway Scholarship, you have to do those classes, okay? And then when you get into college, there is the requirements that you have to have in order to keep going. And on the opportunity and the provisional, I thought it was 2.5 all the way across, but somebody told me 2.0, and I looked in the department, and I couldn't find it, okay? So this bill is kind of personal to me because I have a son, this is before Hathaway, who went all the way through high school, and I think he got two B's. He had a 3.9 and change. And he took the ACT five times. And the highest score that he got was a 20. So if you look at the matrix of what you got right there, there is my son with a 3.9 and change with a 20 ACT score, and the highest award that he can get is an opportunity. And frankly, I don't think that's fair. He just recently got done with his master's. He took the GRE. He again was told that he couldn't get into the graduate school. They made an exception. He was the first student to get through in 2 years, again with a very high GPA. So If you look at that, you can see things are going to go wrong. And the other thing I think you have to remember is a lot of these people, a lot of these students are taking these tests when they're 17 years old. A lot of things happen between your 19th birthday and your 17th birthday, at least in my life that it did. I kind of figured that this would be partly money, and so I went and I looked up the Hathaway Scholarship, and we did increase the award by 5%, and I went out and found out how much money it cost to do that 5%, and it's $930,000. And I was going to tell you what percentage the honors and everybody else's scholarships would be covered under with each one of those. The big institution on the other side of the hill raised their tuition, and nobody knew exactly what those numbers, so I'm sorry I can't tell you that. If you can look at this up at the top, if you looked at what House Bill 192 does, is it increases each one of the each time that you go up a level, $420 each semester, so $840 a year. The typical students are going to benefit from that is already who I talked about, people who cannot take standardized tests. My guess is we could do a poll out here and find quite a few people that don't do well on standardized tests. It helps the kids who were immature and then developed into students, then they can go up. It helps the kids that come back from missions. They come back much more mature and ready to go forward. There's a lot of kids that it could help in, and I found out how many before. Then, to further go on to the money, I got the treasurer's report on the Hathaway, and it talks about the income that comes off the corpus, and for fiscal year 12, 13, and 14, I had those, and then the scholarship payments that they reported there. You can see that the income is much higher than what the scholarship payments are. Now, there's a reserve account that's in there that bounces things around that kind of confuses me, so I tried to stick with numbers that I was fairly comfortable that I could support. Now, the interesting thing also is we talk about that the Hathaway Scholarship already kind of sorts out and puts people into where they're at. And if you're looking at fiscal year 12, what happens is they started out with 2,314 students. After 1 year, they lost 1,329. If you go down to the next one, they started off with 2,508, and they lost 1,766. There is a high attrition rate for the people who take the Hathaway. Okay? So, what I did to further go along with that is, if you look at the second one that has the Hathaway on there, and they were able to determine how many students had a 3.25. Now remember, they only have to have a 2.5 to maintain their scholarship. So what happens is if you look on the bottom of the 2013-2014, you'll find that 763 students in the performance maintain that 3.25 and could advance. There was 240 in the opportunity, and there was 202 that were in the provisional. If you times that by the $840, that means that this bill will cost $506,000. That was higher than what I expected. But the good part of that is there are more students that are performing higher than what I also expected. What this bill does is that it rewards people who have survived high school, they have got into college, they have thrived, and they are doing good. And just because they matured a little bit later, okay, or just because they can't take a standardized test, what happens is they can continue to do well in school, and they can get a bump in their reward. And it will cost the state $506,000. And if you go back to the page that has Bill 192 at the top, I don't know what's the right number, but I like to be thorough. The cash balance in fiscal year 12 was $501 million, and the Hathaway was set up on a $400 million trust fund. If you go down to fiscal year 14, it goes to $533, and if you go over what the market value of that fund is $575 million and change. This is the right thing to do for our students who are doing well in school, and I believe that the legislature should reward that scholarship, and it isn't another way to fund some other program.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment and for the bill, and not to belabor the point, but I was talking to a very esteemed member of this body about this bill earlier when it first came up in Committee of the Whole, and he related a story about one of his partners who had a child that got a 4.0, and he had learning disabilities, and he got a 4.0 in school by working really, really hard in high school, and he did really terrible on ACT and went on to college and got a 4.0 and graduated. There are people that do not do well on the ACT that do well. And so that's one reason I think it's important that we do this. And the other is, it's just an incentive. We ultimately want children to graduate from college. And if we can provide some incentives along the way, if this is, you know, not the right mix, I don't know. I think it's the right mix, but I believe this is an important incentive, and I would urge you to support the bill.
Chairman Patton, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the bill and opposed to the amendment. Yes, this is a merit program. We were asked, is this an excellence program or entitlement? The answer to that is yes. That's exactly what this bill is. Is that short enough? I don't know what more reason you need. Vote against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Eklund, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this bill, and the reason for it is when I look at real losses to the state of Wyoming, it's students that either drop out at any point. The reason for the Hathaway was to end up with a real acceptable finished product, and that's our students and our kids that finish with a degree in college. That the Hathaway is an entitlement. I won't argue that, but once they hit college, this actually turns it into this bill would, that incentivizes students to get a better grade, actually then becomes a scholarship. They can increase the funding that they would receive if they do well in college. So it's an incentive to end up with what we want, which are our students that graduate college. So I'm in favor of the bill and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in favor of the amendment and against the bill. By way of background, I was in the legislature with 4 years in the Education Committee when we started the process to develop what became the Hathaway Scholarship, and it was to incent students to do well in high school, score well on tests, and take difficult courses. We've since had, and we've been modifying it and modifying it and modifying it, and it's getting from what was an incentive to drive those students to do the right thing when they're in high school so they get a good chance at college to something that is more of an entitlement. So I'm concerned that as we do more and more of this, and every year that we've done some additions to the Hathaway Scholarship, I think we've kind of weakened what was the original goal. So I urge your support of the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment and against the bill, first of all, if the problem is the ACT test scores, then that's a separate issue and ought to be a separate bill. If you have a 3.8, maybe you should automatically be entitled to the Hathaway Scholarship. That's just a different fix. Also, what this doesn't do is it doesn't create any rigor in the college programs that you're taking. So if you're taking a easy type of college courses, there's no measurement. So and that kind of defeats the purpose of the scholarship program in the first place.
Representative Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to talk about the children or the kids that go to college and they're coming out of an unstable household. They're talking about a bad environment. They've never had a good chance to excel. They've never been, mom and dad never pushed them on to excel. These kids, when they hit college, can turn out to be very good students. There's another group that turns out to be very good students later in life, and that's when you get married. If you get married in college, you settle down, there's a drive in your force again, and you do better in school. And so I support the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've actually signed on this bill, and I think the House Education Committee really made it a lot better. I think it was a real overreach. I was originally drafted to move folks right into the honors. But I think I'm obviously conflicted on this bill, and I think this whole thing, you know, it was in my second term in 05 and 06, and been pushing this concept of a merit scholarship because we know there's lots of scholarships for need, if you're need-based, but you don't have to make a lot of money to really push yourself out of any consideration for need-based scholarships. And so there was a big debate going on 10 years ago, should we increase need-based aid to University of Wyoming and our community colleges? I brought bills that were laid back and defeated in education committee, worked through the whole process, and we had this surplus of federal mineral royalties in our school foundation program, and a large surplus, approaching $1 billion, it was the projections. And so, lo and behold, there was this Senate file came across to do endowed professors, and it was going to be endowed chairs at the university and our community colleges, and that traditional split was about 70-30. But it had the one word in the title, student scholarships. It had some language in there. And I'd been defeated on every attempt on this. And this was the longest standing legislator in history, bill. And I remember it was on the last Friday. I served on education committee in those days. It was the last Friday upstairs for bills that have crossed over in committee. So it was a Senate file. And so I'd worked hard on, brought a 35-page amendment, a substitute bill that brought the Hathaway Scholarship, but kept the endowed professors. See, because they wanted to pay for college professors out of school foundation money. That was the Senate's approach. And we thought, if we're going to spend K-12 school money on college professors, there ought to be something in there for K-12 school kids. And that's where, and I'll never forget the senator, he says, it was in the paper, a stroke of genius. He thought it was so good because he's going to get his, he'd opposed the scholarships all along, but he was going to get his endowed professors. They were going to be linked. They were either going to rise together or sink together. And that created enough votes, really. And then the Merit Scholarship Committee was appointed. I chaired that for 2 years. We came back in 2006 with recommendations to be very conservative on the trust fund. It's a little different than our permanent mental trusts and the way it's funded. And we've taken a very conservative approach that we, and so the representative from Sweetwater talked about how the fund has grown. It was $400 million. It's grown to $500 million. That's a good thing. That doesn't mean we should start spending it down because as Wyoming continues to grow, these needs are going to increase. As you know, this House passed a 10% increase last year. It got negotiated down to a 5% increase. There's folks out there talking it should be linked to tuition. That's impossible. Then there's no incentive to hold down an unvoted on tax, which is tuition. And so we've got to be really careful. And I think a couple things to know about this, though. So why was some folks talked about the goals of the Hathaway. And so I went back into the original legislation and the reports, and really it was about high school merit and to really increase rigor in high school. So we didn't, you know, we didn't couldn't change graduation requirements, but in fact, we said if these things are important, because we know most kids in their senior year take half a load to graduate. They take half, about four credits out of a possible eight. So most seniors are half-time or three-quarter-time kids. And so they got a lot of room in their schedule. And so we said, hey, math, one more science. Foreign language is already required in the standards, so we added just a little bit of language to include that. And you can see that's been expanded now with career technical and fine arts classes. We expanded the provisional Hathaway now where there's really the only requirement is high school graduation with a 2.5. We've eliminated the math and the science. And so I think we just got to be careful going down this road. And I'll just, when we did our final Hathaway report, all the things, and this was a real big discussion, we sat and looked at each other in the eye and thought, here's what's happened in other states. You can't keep your hands off it. Because it doesn't fit everybody, and so somebody will bring a bill because their relative couldn't qualify, and so that bill comes. And then next year will be another bill because somebody else couldn't quite qualify, so then that bill passed. And then, as I think the Speaker Pro Tem talked about in his opening remarks, the program then becomes an entitlement. And so getting back to the goals, high school merit, high school rigor, and then encouraging our Wyoming kids to go to school in Wyoming, because we know the statistics, wherever kids tend to go to college, they tend to live. Not 100%, obviously, but if our kids leave the state and go to a, you know, there's this huge private scholarship in a peninsula state to the east that's divided north and south peninsula along, and we have kids from our school qualified, it's a celestial scholarship, it's a full ride. And when they leave the state, I've never seen any of our kids from Casper come back. They're all living in that peninsula state back east. And so we wanted to keep our kids here. So, you know, I'm not going to really speak against the bill so much, but I just would urge all of us caution, because as we pass the tax break in the last law and the next one, and pretty soon you start doing like other states in the union have done, and these things just grow to try to be everything to everybody. And I would say one more thing about need scholarships. If you know the Hathaway, if you are a meritorious student who has need, who qualifies under need-based scholarships, this is a full-ride scholarship. So we put special emphasis on those kids who come from maybe disadvantaged socioeconomic backgrounds, and if they succeed in high school, it's a full ride. It's an outstanding scholarship. So it's done a lot of good, but I urge, as always, let's have good discussion and caution on those. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I guess the good representative, my colleague sitting here next to me, whose number I can't remember right now, District 43, and myself are living proof that people do come back to Wyoming. Just thought I would point that out. But the reason I rise is a couple points have been made that I think are not entirely accurate about the Hathaway. I think we have definitely increased rigor with the Hathaway by the number of years of classes required. But I am here to tell you that it's pretty easy to take 4 years of easy English, 4 years of easy science, 4 years of math, easy math, and still qualify for the Hathaway, and then you get to college, and it's a heck of a lot harder than you expected. So this idea that we're taking something away from the kids who've gotten the 4.0 because they've taken the classes in high school, I think is not entirely correct. But the real reason I support this bill is for some of the reasons that have been said. Not everybody aces the ACT. People do mature at different levels. And It's important to note that the bill does not get you out of the requirements of the Hathaway. You still have to be in the Hathaway. You have to have met one of the rungs. This just allows you to move up. If you get to college and you do well, we're going to give you a little bit more. You've already met the bottom rung of Hathaway, and you've demonstrated a different way, through a different way, that you might be entitled to move up. That's what this bill is about. So I think it's important to remember that the people covered by this bill have met at least the base requirements for Hathaway. And they've shown success in a different way, and that's why we want to reward them with a little more scholarship money. In favor of the bill, against the amendment.
Chairman Zwanath Zerdan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just two quick points that I haven't heard mentioned for some information for the body on why I both like the bill and don't like the bill. I hope most of you are aware that our university changed their grading schedule last year, and so it's no longer, you know, an A is 4.0 and a B is 3.0. We now allow an A minus is 3.6 and a B plus is 3.3, which does give a little more academic rigor. Which is why I think maybe this bill is important, that the kids who really are trying hard, I remember when I had to grade my students, you know, it's really tough for an A or B, but when you have this, you give a lot more A minuses and some more B pluses. Why I like the bill, because it's more rigorous now at UW in my mind. What I foresee happening, or what worries me, is we get high school graduates who have to choose between the university or community college, and under this bill they say, hey, maybe we couldn't get the highest level scholarship. We're going to encourage kids to maybe go to community college for a couple of years, try to get their GPA above this 3.25 level, which is also, you know, our community colleges are cheaper than our university in most respects, and it will encourage more kids to go to community colleges before they go right into UW. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Some kids need that extra couple of years at maybe an intermediate level, but that's what concerns me if we pass this. So just wanted to get those two thoughts out there.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to point out again that this bill does nothing to change the admittance into the Hathaway Scholarship. I know that the Hathaway was set up to try to increase rigor. I also know, based on my experiences as a high school teacher, it wasn't very successful. My favorite example is that my niece dropped out of my class or transferred out of my class because I was too hard and I was going to give her a C or a B. I can tell you that high school students avoid classes, especially their senior year and their junior year. What they're trying to do is they're trying to maintain their GPA. They do not take, and I can talk about this in my current job, they do not take dual classes or college classes. They do not take concurrent classes, and they avoid AP classes because of the high school GPA. With that, there is an increasing problem in the community colleges with remediation because students don't remain students all the way through high school. And finally, the ACT has problems, or maybe Wyoming has trouble, because what happens is under the old standards that Wyoming had, they did not align to what ACT was testing. And what's happening now with new standards is those standards are going to probably be more in line to where the kids can do better on both the ACT and the Compass. This bill rewards good scholarship to people who are in college and are doing well. That's the bottom line. It is not creating an entitlement. It is not trying to undermine the system. It is trying to improve the system by having students demonstrate meritorious scholarship for a merit scholarship. I urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Education Committee had four different bills on the Hathaway scholarships.
has only one survived so far, and that's before you. We are being cautious about what the expansion of the entitlement is, and if you'll take note, we're not even coming close to expending the scholarship payments' total investment income. So it's not a budgetary problem. It is a reward for that has been earned by merit. Vote for the bill, opposed to the amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
You had it on.
At least the light's not coming on, Mr. Speaker. It's been knocked off its pedestal, but...
It's on the mic. I don't know about which light you're talking about.
Well, I'm trying to... Thank you, Mr. Squeaker, or Mr. Speaker. I appreciate that. Somebody had to do it for the first time this year, Mr. Speaker. We've been plotting for a while on that one, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No, my only comments were on previous speaker from Sweetwater talked about remediation, and you know, a lot of the remediation too at community college has been all over the map. I've worked on this issue because it has been decided on individually by colleges, but a lot of the remediation our community colleges are adults who are coming back. They've been out of school. They haven't had Algebra 2 in 10 years. And so that's where a lot of this remediation piece, too, is part of it. But I would disagree on the rigor, and I guess everything that was said really is anecdotal, and I'm going to add anecdotal to it. We're an IB school. We have more kids taking hard classes. The kids are smarter than I've ever seen. It's just... And I think our ACT scores in the last 10 years have gone up by 2 points from an average of 18 to 20. We're one of 10 states or 11 states now that test every 11th grader. And we've always hung in that group in the middle of the pack or real close or the top three in our ACT score. So I think our kids are doing a great job. And so I don't think the Hathaway has been a disincentive for rigor. I think we spell out the courses. It's got to be up through Algebra 2. A lot of kids had never even dreamed of taking Algebra 2 before that. And so I think it's done a lot of good. So appreciate the debate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just two quick points before we vote. It's interesting that the whole purpose of this bill are those kids that can't, that have great grades, and can't meet the testing requirement, but the bill doesn't really address that because it treats those kids that get great grades and those kids that get terrible grades the same. And so it takes away and it de-emphasizes the whole incentive package that we have, which is kids, when you've got those 4 years of high school, work hard, get your good grades, and we're going to reward you. Secondly, I think the sponsor of the bill really made my point for you, and he detailed out what he sees as gamesmanship among among high school kids to make sure that they keep their grades up and to make sure that they're eligible for Hathaway. And I would just submit to you how many more avenues for gamesmanship are there when you can make yourself eligible for the Hathaway in one year of college rather than your 4 years in high school. I would submit to you that that creates innumerable more avenues to game the system, and kids are smart. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out, man, if I can get to college and then just take that 1 year and get the exact same reward, I'm going to do that rather than having to slave away for all 4 years of my high school career. So I know the purposes behind this bill are good. I certainly don't doubt that. I just don't think they hit the mark. So I'd withdraw the amendment and ask for your no vote on the bill.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 192 has been withdrawn. House Bill 192 having been read three separate times, the question is shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings excused. Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 31 aye, 28 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 192, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 192 has passed the House. Representative Pelkey.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Like many of us in here, I had the opportunity to attend school in that community on the other side of the hill, and every once in a while you have the opportunity to run across a professor that really lights up the subject. I had the opportunity to take one of my most spectacular history classes from a woman who whose background included writing scripts for General Hospital, which brought history lessons to life. She's also the author of the definitive history on the University of Wyoming, and I'd like the House to welcome Dr. Deborah Hardy over in the West Gallery.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House stand in recess for lunch until 2:15, 2:15.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're in recess till 2:15.
Mr. Speaker, committee announcements?
Committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet in 15 minutes to continue the hearing of House Bill 230.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Education Committee number four will meet in 15 minutes after this recess.
Chairman Harvey. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Greer is distracting me over here. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet as soon as you can get to the up to room 302, where we will continue the discussion on House Bill 245, Medicaid Share Plan 2.
Representative Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, just a reminder of the lunch today down in Hirschler, room 1699, where the cancer survivors are hosting that luncheon for the Day of Hope. And you also got a handout this morning on your desks about colon cancer. So when you go over there for lunch, if you do, they have a big colon you can walk through. Now, I bet nobody's ever done that before.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, House Appropriations, will continue work on House Bill 144. And then finish up work on 162 here during noon adjournment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday upon noon recess in H18 to hear the following two bills, Senate File 52, poll books, and Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections.
Is it? Wait a minute. We're in recess till 2:15.